This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Sam Darnold goes down, no problem for a former Denver Bronco. Drew Lock helps lead the Seattle Seahawks to a 13-10 KFKA win last night. We're going to unpack it. Drake May looked good for a second and then looked really, really, really bad. And of course, I was wrong. The Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini stuff is not going anywhere. All it took was one loss to bring it right back up to the top. Kevin Lytle going to join us. Let's talk some Colorado State and Southern Utah. Rams Weekly will be later. And Michael, the return of Mr. Thursday Night, my alter ego, is back. You're not going to want to miss this. The whole show starts right now. Do a fun promotion, Michael, where anytime a primetime game ends in a score of 13-10, we do something with that. I don't know. There it is. I came up with the idea. You perfect it. Go. Come up with a great idea, and we'll figure it out.
Lunch with one of the KFK employees, not me.
I don't think anyone wants that prize. Seattle Seahawks win 13-10 over the New England Patriots. Drake May. Did I see this right? He's 0-12 in the regular season against playoff teams? Is that not? I don't know if that's a real stat or not because they beat the Broncos. Are they not counting playoffs? Okay, the story is Sam Darnold goes down early, and he's going to miss some time. It kind of sounds like he dodged the bullet. It's not going to be a lot of time, but he's going to miss some time. So he goes down early. Draymond Jones, former Bronco, like lays on him, and he's like out of the game. He threw two passes in that game, and then done. Drew Lock enters. 16 of 22, 187 yards and a touchdown. Now, Drew Lock's still going to Drew Lock. There were two plays in question where he's running out to his right. He's got some space in front of him to go get like 5 yards, but instead he turns to his side and tries to drop it off to a running back running alongside of him. And he crosses the line of scrimmage while doing that. It wouldn't have gone. I mean, it was incomplete anyway. And then there was a delay of game. He's under center looking at his wristband. Like he's literally under center, Michael. The play had already been called. I don't know if he's trying to audible, but he's under center. And he's studying what to do, and then the play clock expires. But he's the kind of guy, Mike. You take the good with the bad. And there were some good moments. He had a really nice touchdown throw to Jackson Smith and Jigba. And that proved to be pretty significant in this game. But also the story, too, is A.J. Brown goes down with an ankle injury. Drake May underthrew A.J. Brown quite a bit last night. And there was another case, kind of underthrew him. AJ's on the ground to go for it. Defender runs into him, twists that ankle up. High ankle sprain, it looks like, for AJ Brown. So he'll miss some time. So much for that. I already had bad receiver. I know nobody cares about my fantasy team, but it's my show and I can mention it. I had no receivers before this, and AJ Brown was kind of my star. Well, that's going to be fun. So I want to spend some time here. Drake May is certainly, because he's in the same draft class, certainly in the same conversation as Bo Nix, Mike. Like, that's going to be a part of what we do for a long time. And because you look at that 2024 draft class, and I mean, some really good prospects there. You know, it was Drake May was taken by the Patriots in the third with the third pick. You had Caleb Williams that year at number one, Jaden Daniels at number two, Drake May at number three. And then you scroll on down and you get J.J. McCarthy there, and then Bo Nix at number 12. Caleb Williams is quickly becoming a household name, so I think he's winning that. But is Jaden Daniels better than Bo Nix? That's tough. It's not between Bo Nix and Drake May anymore. Now, I was never fully on the Drake May bandwagon. I don't think he's cooked. I don't think he's great. But Michael, he made some really bad decisions in that second half. So you're down 13-10. At the very least, you got to get a field goal, at least a try, to try and win this game. But in that final sequence, that possession to get them there, there's a 10-yard penalty for the Patriots. It's holding. Then Drake May is sacked. So it's now it's second and 21. And then it's a deep middle ball to Hollins. You know, at his older age, he's still reliable. You get to a third and two. And they were converting a lot of third downs. Then you found Dobbs. He got a first down. Or he didn't get a first down. They got to go for it on fourth down. Drake May scrambles to get a first. That's what he can do. Then they're faced with another fourth down. It's fourth and nine. And Drake throws an 11-yard pass to convert at the two-minute warning to find Hollins again. And they have an eight-yard run. They're now on the Seattle 36. Quick pass. Seattle 28. Then a six-yard run. So now it's third and one. It's on the Seattle 27, six-yard run after that, so they get the first. Now they're on the Seattle 21, and Drake May takes a sack, loses 7 yards. So it's second and 17 at Seattle's 28, and then Drake May throws a 12-yard pass. Now it's third and five on Seattle's 16. 26 seconds left in the game. Third and five on the Seattle 16. Drake May rolls out, looking. Nothing really there. So he just throws it up to the right side of the end zone. Job made a good play. It wasn't a great play. It was a good play. He was right there. And May throws it up. Interception. Game over. Tippy toes down. You cannot make that throw. The very least, you're tying this up. And you're trying to make one final stop and then send this thing to overtime. So those were some bad decisions by Drake May. And maybe right now in his young career, the thought of him is like, okay, good player. But when things get tight, he's going to make a mistake. And boy, did he make a lot of those mistakes. To start the fourth quarter, New England is up 10-3. They have the ball to start the fourth quarter, Michael. Because that delay of game by Drew Lock sent them back so they couldn't. They had a tougher shot to get in the end zone, so they don't get it. They have to settle for the field goal. It's 10-3, New England ball to start the fourth. And then, or not to start the fourth, but it was late third. But they had the ball when the fourth quarter began. 14 minutes and 27 seconds left in the game. The Patriots are on the Seattle Seahawks 45, up 10-3 in the fourth quarter. Drake May throws a deep ball intended for Dobbs, intercepted by Pritchett. But double coverage. He throws it into double coverage. And the Seahawks pick it off. Shortly after that, they go down the field in five plays for 67 yards and score a touchdown. The next possession, okay, you gave up your lead. You were up 10-0 for a while, then 10-3. Now it's tied. Patriots have the ball. And it's third and 14. Drake May throws a pass down the middle of the field and intercepted by Love. and the Seahawks get the ball back and go score a field goal, they're now up 13-10. Patriots still have a chance to go down and try to win this thing. And as I outlined earlier, the drive, it was good. It was a good drive. It was good, bad parts, but they converted two fourth downs on that possession. And on that third down, Drake May just tosses it up and game over. And this is where I look at Bo Nix, complete opposite. Drake had a decent first half, right? Bo usually has a decent to below, sometimes, below average first half of football. But this is where the clutch thing is a real thing. Drake May doesn't seem to have it. Bo kind of seems to have it. He seems to get better as the game tightens up. And that's the mark of a guy. Now, I'm still up in the air as to whether or not Bo Nix is going to be a tier one type quarterback. I certainly think he's tier two. And tier two can win you Super Bowls, assuming you have a great defense and a few good X factors. But tier two can win you Super Bowls.
So can tier three.
Thank you.
You have to have an epic, historic defense to win it.
Correct. I just said that. I just said those things. Those are the things that I just said. But I think Bo Nix has a chance here because he's elite. I would say he's elite in the fourth quarter. I would say he's tier one in the fourth quarter. And that's the difference. Drake May, at least one game in. It's a Wednesday night. Weird. He looked rattled. And he threw three interceptions in a row, essentially, Mike, in the fourth quarter. That's the mark of a really bad quarterback, actually. Really bad. Now, Seattle's defense is very good. And they didn't have a lot of that. They didn't show a lot of that life in the first half. But then the second half rolled up. It's almost like Mike McDonald takes them into halftime and says, listen, man, Sam Darnold's out. We need you guys to step up. That was cool. On the other side, though, what can we say about Drew Lock, Mike? There is it. Come on. You're a Broncos fan. Everybody knows it. Is there a part of you that kind of roots for Drew Lock? Because I tell you what, I think he got a raw deal in Denver. I've said this for years. His coach was Vic Fangio, who didn't want him on his roster at all. In fact, here's a clip I found. Now, funny fact here. Teddy Bridgewater, who won the starting job against Drew Lock years ago, what was that, 2021? Vic Fangio was the head coach. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock share the same what, Michael? They share the same what?
Why? Is it the birthday?
They have the same birthday. Here's the head coach of the Denver Broncos at the time talking about that.
Very pleased with Teddy's play. And today's Teddy's birthday, so wish him happy birthday.
Think you're at 29 sacks allowed.
It's Drew Lock's birthday, too.
It is Drew's.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not like the other. And by the way, it's Teddy Bridgewater's birthday today. Go wish him a happy birthday. Now, Michael, it's all well and good if you don't say, hey, it's the backup quarterback's birthday today. But the fact that they have the same birthday, and you are saying, you're calling out specifically, hey, Teddy Bridgewater, it's his birthday today, and then you don't even mention Drew, and then a reporter says, hey, I think that was Kliss. Hey, by the way, it's Drew's birthday as well. Yeah, it is. That's a fact. That was like the Dwight Schrute meme that goes around from The Office. Fact, it is your birthday. Little thing, I get it, but that just kind of shows you how he was viewed in Denver. And this was a bad move by John Elway and company to draft Drew Lock because they drafted a gunslinger, flip the coin, maybe he's going to be great, maybe he's going to be meh, maybe he's going to forget what the play is and have a delay of game called, or he's going to throw it, you know, a yard past the line of scrimmage, even though he could just get 5 to 7 yards by running. He's going to throw it off, basically hand it off, try to. He's going to do that stuff, but that's a gunslinger. What do conservative, defensive-minded coaches not want on their football team, Michael? They don't want gunslingers. Anybody that's going to make their job more difficult. If there's a 50-50 chance you're going to turn it over or do something silly, then that puts my defense in a bad spot. Teddy Bones, on the other hand, That guy's going to run your offense the way you want. He's early in his career, he was an innovator. You know, Teddy could move around and make some things happen, but after so many injuries and so many different teams, he was not that guy, especially by the time he got to Denver. He was the prototypical game manager, and that's what Vic Fangio wanted. So I don't think Drew Lock ever got a fair shake. Now, that was that interesting year where they drafted Noah Fant at number 20, and we thought, and I thought, ugh, I didn't like that. I didn't like using that first. Now, again, I've been harping on bad tight end play for Denver for a while, and that's an Iowa tight end. They usually have pretty good tight ends, Mike, but I didn't love it at 20. It was the second round, if you'll remember, where I thought, whoa, the Broncos just made this draft look really good suddenly. Do you know who they picked in the second round with the 41st pick, Michael? Because they had 2 second-round picks that year. Do you remember who they picked? Pick number 41?
I don't.
Local guy, and then K-State guy, Dalton Risner. And then, right after that, pick number 42, they picked Drew Lock. Also picked Draymond Jones, who was in that game last night. That I felt like, okay, this is good, but then I also worried. Because I like Drew Lock's style. He's a gunslinger. He's a little erratic, but he's going to go to Vic Fangio. That was part of what those were my problems with John Elway in his later years with the Broncos. I'm going to draft player A to go with Coach A, even though Coach A has this philosophy, player A, this philosophy, two different guys. That was the beginning of the end for Drew Lock, I believe. I never thought he got a fair shake in Denver. I thought the whole quarterback decision was a joke. It was always going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Vic kept saying, flip a coin, flip a coin. Now, that's where Tanner's take of if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. That's where he's coming from with that. That was certainly a year in which they had two guys that shouldn't be starting at the time. However, I feel like if Drew Lock had a real... I mean, remember, he had Scangarello as his offensive coordinator first after that good year that Drew... So it was Joe Flacco, remember? And then Drew Lock took over for Joe Flacco and had four... What did he play? 3 or 4 games? Was it 4 games? So 3 out of his 4 games were really good. 1 was really bad, and it was in the snow.
Yeah, and there was that... Well, this... That was the Chiefs, and the Broncos couldn't beat the Chiefs, and it was in the snow. But he had an epic, epic pass to Thomas.
Yeah. He had 7 touchdowns in 5 games played. He had 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, had a rating of 89.70, threw for 1,000 yards. We thought, wow, the Broncos have their guy. Bad season, but the Broncos have their guy. So he got the start in 2020. Vic Fangio coach, not good. It wasn't good for him. That was 2020. Remember, he got in trouble because he didn't wear the mask in the film room and the quarterbacks weren't wearing masks. And it's like, oh, no. And then that was the crazy game where the Broncos didn't have a starting quarterback.
They had Philip Lindsay.
That's who started, right?
Yeah.
Because he got the first, because they ran like the wild horse, right? Or the wildcat.
Yeah. And I don't know.
But it was Kendall Hinton who actually played quarterback, and he's in the Hall of Fame because of that.
Yeah.
Because he's the first ever non-quarterback to play quarterback for an entire game because Drew Lock infected everybody with the COVIDs. And that was one of the things that stood with Drew. And then after that year, because he was given the reins to be the starter, it didn't work out. Then they brought in, then it was the Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock quarterback competition. And Teddy won. And shortly after that, Drew Lock was shipped out of here as part of a package for Russell Wilson. Lock left for the Giants for a cup of tea, for a cup of coffee, cup of tea. What are we, British now? For a cup of coffee. And then came back to, see, I went back to Seattle and got his moment. And he's going to have to do more of that. Is he still a starter in this league? Is Drew, could he do that? Could he prove it? Probably going to be a guy where a team that's in the Broncos situation from in 2020. If Drew goes out in these next few games when Sam Darnold's out and balls out, then he might get on a different team next year, or go somewhere where he could compete for a starter job with another guy like him. That's where he is at his career. But I think Denver ruined him. I really do. 25 minutes after the hour. Interesting game. And yeah, the Patriots lost. I did pick the Patriots to win. Faye said, oh, I did say, oh, no, not Brady's wide receiver when A.J. Brown went down. Yeah. Yep. Going to be a rough season for me. But you got to adjust, Mike. The great ones adjust.
Maybe you'll host the other guys next year.
No, I won't lose. Bruce is in it. I'm pretty sure he drafted, like, Hakeem Olajuwon to his team.
I mean, he's very good at basketball.
Right, but that's the thing. 26 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. Kevin Lytle going to join us here in just a moment. I have a quarterback update for the UNC Bears. A quarterback announcement I'd like to make coming up. And then we'll talk some Rams, Southern Utah with the Kevin Lytle. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Chris Abshire for Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thursday night, I can guarantee you that. This is going to be a special freaking season. It starts tonight. Rams 49ers in Melbourne, Australia. It's not Melbourne. It's Melbourne, Australia.
Speak American, Brady. It's Melbourne.
Melbourne. I've got a person for Campbell Blog, plays for the UNC Bears basketball team. Michael, he's from Melbourne, Australia, and he told me as much as far as the pronunciation 3 weeks ago. So
they don't know what the letter R is.
Stop being you. This the way to say it is Melbourne. So when you hear people saying Melbourne, there's no R in there. It's silent. I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group. There is an R in there, and we do pronounce that. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Ryan Hicks. They formed this bad boy 20-plus years ago, and they've always had the backs of Northern Colorado citizens. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weldon and Larimer County. Check them out online at team-rig.com. Okay, quick note here, Michael. We've been saying it wrong. Quarterback for the UNC Bears, Kenny Luth, L-E-U-T-H. Coach Lamb has said as much. It's Kenny Leith. It's Kenny Leith. Our great intern, Garrett, sent over the pronunciation for me. Had him actually say it out loud. It's Kenny Leith. Does that blow your mind? Does that blow your mind
like
a little bit?
Luth to me.
Looks like Luth to me. But no, it's Kenny Leith. 31 minutes after the hour, let's talk other quarterbacks. Let's talk Haas Haney. We all know how to pronounce that one. Game coming up against, I almost said big game. Game coming up against Southern Utah this weekend for Colorado State. Kevin Lytle will join us next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Take a break from talking about Drew Lock for a moment, who could be the best quarterback in the NFL. Based on one night of play, he could be the best quarterback in the NFL. Kevin Lytle joining us right now from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Maybe the best quarterback in the Pac-12, maybe more after one game. Haas Haney, Kevin. Wow, Haas Haney. That no debate about the quarterback now.
Yeah, that was quite a debut. I mean, 5 touchdown passes from Haney. He said he didn't think he'd ever had a game in his, you know, any level, college, high school, whatever career, where he threw 5 touchdown passes. Said he's had 5 or 6, but, you know, some running involved. So 5 touchdown pass performance, pretty darn good. He couldn't have started any better.
Kevin, have you ever seen the movie, I'm guessing you have, Remember the Titans?
Yes, of course.
You know when the quarterback with the long hair, Sunshine, gets his first crack at playing quarterback for the Titans, and he's making plays, he's dodging bullets, and he's knocking guys down. And one of the coaches on the sideline says, "We got ourselves a football player." That was the quote that was going through my head when I saw him pull down that 28-yard reception when he goes out as a receiver. That was what was running through my brain.
Yeah, that's pretty apt, I feel like. And, you know, that was a really good play. Obviously, the catch itself was, you know, phenomenal, you know, somewhat fortunate. Even Haney said that. But what I liked is, you know, he basically realized he was covered and, you know, basically the play was in trouble. And, you know, I'm not saying every quarterback, but some quarterbacks in that situation would maybe kind of just shut and say, "Well, you know, not my battle." And Haney said, "You know, I'm going to go up and try and draw a PI." So he basically created contact with the defender, and he did draw a PI, didn't end up needing it since he caught it. But just the moxie of, you know, wanting and knowing to do that, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. I'm not saying he was perfect in that game, Kevin, nope. But he was making plays. He was keeping games alive or plays alive. And that's what you want to see early on, because we hadn't seen that kind of stuff in a while. BFN had moments of that, but we hadn't seen it, you know, when it mattered most, a quarterback just making the plays that he needed to.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I thought it was pretty much just a calm, controlled, composed performance from him. He, you know, didn't seem to try and do too much. You know, you wonder when a guy obviously has the athletic ability, you know, is he going to sort of immediately try and, you know, run if things break down? And no, I mean, he was going through stepping in the throws, all those things. That, yeah, CSU fans have been looking for. It was, yeah, I totally agree. It was both a really good performance, but you also watch it and go, yeah, he can be better. And that's why I kind of feel like for all of CSU's performance, that's maybe the best thing about it, is you watch it and you're like, oh, that's quite good, but
Did we lose Kevin? Kevin, we still got you. You cut out there at the end. Let's make sure he's good. Oh, you're good?
I'm here.
Okay. Kevin's good. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And one of the questions I asked you, thanks to all these appearances by Kevin Lytle and Rams Weekly presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, I asked you earlier this week, like, who's more popular today in Fort Collins? Jim Mora, who is already pretty damn popular, or Haas Haney? Kevin, we're down there on the field at the end of the game, and people are lining up to take selfies and get autographs from Haas Haney. He's like a, you know, fame, superstardom overnight.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I kind of used that in my lead into my column about Haas Haney and his performance. You know, I heard one fan, you know, kind of shake his hand, I think maybe take a picture, and said, you know, "Welcome to Fort Collins. Thank you, brother." You know, it's that feeling. CSU fans have been desperate for overall football success, of course, but, you know, you can't ignore the fact that a good quarterback is, you know, kind of a linchpin in that. You know, there aren't very many teams that are quite good, but the quarterback isn't good. So, you know, it starts there. You can't hide from it.
Yeah, no, it was a blast to watch, just him do his thing. But there were, you know, what he's surrounded by, as I like to call it, Kevin, hot nasty speed. There's, I mean, what, 11 different dudes? Was it 11 different guys catching passes, and all of them? You know, R.J. Vick looks really freaking good. Jackson Harper, that screenplay that he had. I mean, he just turned on the afterburners, man. Talk to me about the weapons. Maybe, and you nailed this last week. You said there might not be one guy you circle as being the guy. They're going to have a lot of those guys. And that's certainly, that held true Saturday.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And yeah, I mean, obviously, R.J. Vick with the 3 touchdown receptions, that's quite a, you know, pretty amazing debut in his own right. He's a guy that I think only had like 14 snaps or something like that at Wake Forest last year, so big impact there. Jackson Harper, you nailed on that screen. I mean, I thought there was some room, you know, if I'm remembering, it's like a 3rd and 16,
yeah,
or something like that. Yep. So it was kind of one of those safe ones of like, hey, let's get some yardage. We'll kick the field goal if he gets tackled, you know, no problem. And he just turned on the Jets. There's some good blocking downfield. But yeah, that's what Morris said. You know, he had a quote this week that I used of, you know, when an opponent puts on the film, you want them to say, shoot, who do we cover? Who do we focus on? You know, who are the top playmakers we have to focus on? And basically that can change every week. And we've talked a lot about the tight ends, but they didn't do much this week. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it just shows the depth of talent they can have out there. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch the punch counter punch of Southern Utah. Obviously, he's going to look at that tape. Well, we better watch out for RJ Vic. We better watch out for Jackson Harper. You know, is that going to open up the run game or maybe the tight end game or something like that? But yeah, I still hold exactly what I said last week of, I don't think there's a 1,000-yard receiver, but I think you might have five or six guys that are in the 300 to 700-yard range.
Now, this next thing I'm going to say, Kevin, it's no disrespect toward guys like Torrey Horton, but I know a lot of coaches would love to have Torrey Horton-type dudes, but when you have a bunch of guys that maybe are not at that level, but a bunch of B-type players, and that's whatever, we'll see, maybe these guys turn into A-type players, it's almost more of a luxury for a head coach to have that set up than one star guy that everybody's keying on, and they're going to double cover him. Torrey Horton obviously still put his numbers up, being double covered a lot, but it's almost better to have four, five, six dudes that are pretty good, maybe not great, that you have no idea on any given Saturday which one's going to shine.
Yeah, it can certainly make you quite dangerous because of, yeah, the uncertainty. Now, I think there's also times, you know, you're facing a tough defense, a tight game. You know, there's certainly a benefit of having your, you know, mega star, you know, Torrey Horton, Trey McBride. It's like, yeah, everyone knows we're going to him, and it doesn't matter because he can make the play. So there's that, too. Coaches want both. They would love to have five first-round picks in their receiving core. You know, that's not realistic unless, I guess, maybe you're Alabama back in the day. But yeah, there is certainly a benefit to the balanced weaponry here. And, you know, gosh, it's one game. You know, I'm going to keep cautioning there. Super small sample size, but you know, Price Tracy was cooking, and
yeah,
he had a lot of guys wide open. I thought, you know, in the red zone, see if he was 4-for-4, and they looked easy. Now they are not easy. I'm not saying that it's easy, but that's how good their scheming was, is it looked like easy touchdowns. And I think part of that is, yeah, the diversity of weapons.
Kevin, Wyoming comes out to start the second half. They go down and score. They make it it's 14-13 Rams. The next possession for the Rams, they go 3 and out. There's that moment in my mind, I'm going, oh no, this is going to erase all those good feelings. Because we've seen that a million times, right? First half of a Rams game, oh, this guy's a stud. Oh, that quarterback's moving. Look what's getting turnovers. Okay. And it's all just erased because you let a team hang around, and then something happened. You got the interception. They went down and scored, and that was it. This team responded in a way we're not used to seeing the Rams respond when they're up and a team makes it close, and then you're just waiting for them to claim the lead. This team responded. I know Jim Mora one of the things he was most impressed about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, CSU kind of a 6-point swing at the end of the first half of CSU missed a field goal, and then let Wyoming march into field goal range and kick their own. And then Wyoming has that drive. And yeah, absolutely. I think probably most CSU fans had a bit of a, oh boy, here we go again type of vibe. And so to see CSU react, I think I wrote or said, or maybe I just discussed this with someone, in some ways, I think because of how that happened, it maybe even helped heal, if, you know, that's kind of a silly phrase to use, but in a way it's true, heal fans a bit more that they had to deal with jeopardy and they responded really well. I think it maybe provided a breath of fresh air of like, oh my gosh, this, you know, maybe this is different because they did respond so well. And basically from that pick, when it was 14-13, CSU absolutely dominated the rest of that game.
How much of that is who's running the show? Jim Mora calming the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has to be part of it. That's the whole reason he was hired, is to, you know, steer a program through, you know, big picture issues, and then, yeah, game to game, within a game issues. You know, we kept saying that we thought the in-game operation would be smoother. I think that's one of the ways it was of, you know, they ran into some stuff, and it was just like, hey, no problem. Like, we've prepared all camp for this. Move on. Let's figure it out. And they did. Again, super small sample size, but it really couldn't have gone much better.
CSU has Southern Utah coming to town. You mentioned it earlier. You know, they're back in the Big Sky. They just beat Weber State 47-42. They ran for 368 yards. Floyd Chalk for 183. Will Burns, 148. Now, again, it's Big Sky on Big Sky. Any reason Rams fans should be alarmed or worried about Southern Utah? And maybe you're going to point to, well, last year they played a Big Sky team. We all know how that one went down.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely be wary. CSU has been bad against FCS teams. Again, that's not Jim Mora's history, but he inherits it. And the Southern Utah team, their offense looks really dynamic. They lost 28-21 to Montana, at Montana, who obviously is an absolute powerhouse.
Yeah.
They had the ball for like 42 minutes in that game. They put 500 yards of offense on Montana. They put up another 500 last week. You mentioned Burns, the quarterback, used to be a center fielder at Texas Tech, which is kind of funny, a big-time athlete who can really run it. Their offense looks really dangerous. Chalk was at San Jose State. CSU has faced him before. Their offense looks really, really dangerous. Now, I would say their defense looks vulnerable, and obviously you would hope CSU's defense will be at a higher level than what they've seen, and now there's some new tape on them because I think their offense is a little bit different with Burns out there. But yeah, CSU should, needs to take care of business, but I certainly don't look at this one as a, glorified scrimmage.
So it's a very interesting game for CSU. You gotta handle your business. All those good vibes can be quickly washed away, even if you win, but if you win close, I mean, Rams fan, you gotta be expecting maybe not a cover, but you're expecting the Rams, by the time we hit that 9-minute mark in the fourth quarter, fans are, we're relaxed. Nobody's worried at that point.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. I mean, this is a bit of a maturity test coming off a big rivalry win. Everyone knows top 15 BYU comes next week. If there's any coach that will, make sure the team is focused on task at hand, it's Jim Moore, and he's talked a lot about that this week. But yeah, CSU has a bad FCS history over the last almost decade. So, until proven otherwise, I think it's fair to approach with a little caution and hope the team takes care of business.
Kevin, we got Rams Weekly coming up. There's a lot more. I want to get into talk a little bit about Umar Diamande, to his story, what he was able to do in this game. Great young man. But Rams Weekly coming up today at 1 o'clock, so here in about an hour, thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza. So we'll unpack a lot more coming up with you later on. Looking forward to it, bro.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get into it.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle, he's going to be right after this segment. He jumps in the car and heads this way. It doesn't take him an hour to get here, but he'll be here soon. And we'll talk more Colorado State, Southern Utah coming up this weekend. All right, coming up next, we got top stories of the day. Broncos depth chart, Michael. One man in particular needs a huge game, and we'll talk about that. They have their captains announced. I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to see if you can name all the captains of the Denver Broncos. 11:50 the time. We'll see if you can name three of the nine. If you can name three, I'll give you a sticker, buddy. We'll be right back.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse, that's the place to go to watch all the football games. You gotta check it out, man. Wonderful place. They have the best food. They got brunch going on the weekends. They got all these brand new TVs, smart TVs, gigantic TVs inside Big City Roadhouse. There's not a bad spot to watch the game if you haven't been in there. It's where the old cables used to be, and then Big City took over a year ago. And it's I can't say enough about it. The staff is great. The food is to die for. But more importantly, for me, anyway, I always look at like the ambiance. Is it a cool place to go to grab a beer, sit down, hang out, go on a meeting, whatever you got to do, or watch the game? That's the place to go. Big City Roadhouse. They've got a full bar with creative cocktails, a curated selection of margaritas, including margarita flights made with fresh lime juice. Excellent stuff to check out there at Big City Roadhouse. They have their burrito that's famous, of course, at Big City Burrito, and breakfast burritos that they'll do at 10 o'clock until noon. I could go on and on and on. It is the best place around, whatever the occasion. Big City Roadhouse, Big City Flavor, Roadhouse Comfort. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. When we come back, we're going to get into the top stories of the day. Got a really sad story we got to get to. Big loss in the sports community. So we'll have that. Broncos depth chart for Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to that, as well as the captains were announced. Nine captains for the Denver Broncos. Nine. Is that what teams – is it nine? That's a lot of captains, Mike. We'll get to that as well. Rams Weekly coming up. And Michael, the return of the Thursday night special. Then in the next hour, I make my pick. Rams, Niners, who you got? Tell me why. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.